Perhaps it was Zachariah who had killed Mr. Hollabrass. No doubt he would have killed the captain, given the chance. As for the first mate, had Zachariah done it to strike fear into Captain Jaggery? The very idea was loathsome to me, and yet my racing mind began to construct an entire conspiracy. The crew, knowing Zachariah was alive, might have guessed, perhaps knew for a certainty, that he had done the crime, but would not acknowledge it. Now, with the captain accusing me, they were being asked to choose between me and Zachariah, their old comrade. A decision on their part to defend him would be understandable, and would go far to explain why they'd abandoned me. But before I could puzzle out my thoughts, Zachariah returned with a jug of water and a hardtack loaf. Mealy as the bread was, I was glad to have it. "Do you wish to be free of there?" he asked, nodding toward my cage. "It's locked."
"A sailor knows his ship," he said slyly.
Reaching toward the back of the brig, he pulled two bars out from what I now realized were rotten sockets.
"Come along," he said, "but be ready to bolt in if anyone comes."
I did so, and we sat side by side, our backs against a barrel in the flickering candlelight. "Zachariah," I said, "the captain has said he'd bring me to trial. Do you think he means it?"
"That's his right."
"And if he does hold a trial, what will happen?"
"He'll be judge and jury and find you guilty."
"And then?" I asked. When Zachariah didn't answer, I said, "Tell me."
"I cannot believe he'd go so far
as to hang me." His silence was answer enough. For a while we both remained silent. "Zachariah," I said, "I need to know. Did anyone else besides me see you during the storm?"
"I exchanged words."
"With whom?"
"Does it make a difference?"
"Maybe." He considered.
"Fisk," he said after a moment. "And Keech."
"Then it's likely the entire crew knew you came up."
"It's possible," he said with a sudden frown.
Had he read my mind? "Zachariah," I said softly, "it's bound to be one of your mates who killed Hollabrass."
"Charlotte," he said with a sigh, "that's true. Every one of them might have had a good reason. But look here, once we discover who it is, we can decide what to do."
I kept glancing sidelong at him, trying to read his mind, more and more convinced that it was he who was the murderer. Still, I lacked the courage to ask.
"Tell me all you know," he said.
I related what little I could, from the discovery of Mr. Hollabrass's body to Captain Jaggery's accusation. My words made him even more thoughtful.
"Charlotte," he said finally, "that dirk. Did you tell anyone else you had it?"
I cast my mind back. "Shortly after you gave the blade to me," I recalled, "I wanted to give it back, remember? Zachariah, when you refused to take it, I offered it to the captain." He turned around sharply.
"But why?"
"I was afraid of it, and you."
"Still?"
"No, but then I was."
"Did you tell him where you got it?"
I shook my head.
"It's not like him to let the matter go at that. He must have demanded an answer."
"He did."
"And?"
"I made one up."
"Did he believe it?"
"I thought so."
"What followed?"
"He said I should keep it, place it under my mattress."
"And did you?"
"Yes."
"Did anyone else know you had it?"
I thought hard. "Dillingham."
"What about him?"
"When I was going to give it back to you. I was holding it in my hand. Dillingham saw it. I knew he did."
"And if he told others," Zachariah mused out loud, "then there's not a soul aboard who could not know of it."
The moment he said it, I knew he was right. And I remembered something else. Zachariah also told me to put it under my mattress. I glanced around and caught him stealing a sidelong look at me. Zachariah, I didn't kill Hollybrass. I was aloft when it happened. And when I went aloft, it was the captain who gave me a knife to use. I didn't even have one.
What happened to that one he gave you?
I lost it. He grunted, neither yes nor no. Once more I could taste my accusation of him on my tongue. Even as I thought it, the candle gutted and went out. The darkness seemed to swallow my ability to talk. But Zachariah talked, a sudden and surprising torrent. Dark tales about each member of the crew. Every jack of them, he claimed, had run afoul of the law at some time or other. Not mere snitch thieves or cutpurses, either. Some were true felons. More compelling than what he said was what he did not say. The more Zachariah talked, the more convinced I was that his rambling chatter was meant to keep us from the crucial question. Who killed Mr. Hollybrass? And the more the question was avoided, the more certain I was that it was he. But how could I accuse him? The captain would have to know that he was alive, and that knowledge would mean Zachariah's certain death. Also, it would mean the end of the crew's plan, which required Zachariah, for bringing Captain Jaggery to justice. No wonder I couldn't ask him the question. I did not want to know. A noise startled me. I felt Zachariah's hand on my arm. A warning. A shaft of light dropped into the darkness. I could see that the cargo hatch on deck had been pulled open. In moments we heard someone on the ladder. I scurried back into the brig. Zachariah hastened to close the bars. Then he retrieved his water jug and disappeared from my side. I did not know where. I looked toward the ladder and saw Captain Jaggery descending slowly. He carried a lantern and had a pistol tucked into his belt. When he reached the foot of the ladder, he paused and looked about, as if making an inspection of the hold. Finally, he approached the brig. There he lifted the lantern and scrutinized me as if I were some thing. It was a look filled with a hatred such as I had never seen before, or since, its clear, precise intensity given greater force by his state of personal disorder, his unkempt hair, his dirty face, the trembling muscle along his jaw. At last he said,
"Miss Doyle, to have murdered a shipmate, an officer, is a capital offense. The penalty for such an act is death by hanging. Let me assure you, a trial is not required, the evidence being altogether clear. I have the right to sentence you without trial, but I insist that you have your fairness. It shall not be me who judges you. I'm not such a fool as that. No, the judgment will be made by those whom you have taken as your equals. Your shipmates." So saying, he undid the padlock on the brig and pulled the gate open. "So be it, Miss Doyle. Your trial commences."
Chapter 18. When I emerged on deck from the dark hold, the very perfection of the day, bright sun, dazzling blue sky, clouds both full and white, made me shade my eyes. And though the Seahawk pitched and rolled gently upon the softest of seas, I felt as though my legs would give way under me. For when I was able to look about, I saw that the captain had arranged a kind of courtroom. In the ship's waist, on the starboard side, he had assembled the crew in two rows, some sitting on the deck, the rest standing behind the front rank. Before them, atop the central cargo hatch, a chair had been placed. The captain hurried me past the crew, none of whom would look me in the eye, and instructed me to sit in the chair, saying it would serve as the prisoner's dock. Now he took his place in one of his fine cabin chairs. It had been set up high behind the quarter-deck rail, a rail that he pounded sharply with the butt of his pistol.
"I proclaim this court to be in session in strict accordance with the law," he said. Considering the overwhelming evidence against the accused, it needn't be held at all. But as I have told Miss Doyle, she will enjoy the benefit of my generosity."
So saying, he now took up his Bible, and though he had just seated himself, rose abruptly and brought it down to the crew. It was Fisk he approached first.
"Place your hand upon this," he demanded.
Fisk did as he was ordered, but, clearly unnerved, touched the book as one might a hot plate.
"Do you, Mr. Fisk," the captain intoned, "swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?"
Fisk hesitated. He glanced quickly at me.
"Do you?"
Captain Jaggery pressed.
"Yes,"
Fisk replied finally, in a hollow whisper. Satisfied, the captain went on to the next man, then the next, until he had sworn in the entire crew. From the solemnity that showed upon their faces, from their nervous fidgets and downcast eyes, it was clear to me that the men were mightily unsettled by the oath they had been made to take. They could not take the Bible lightly. But I was certain each of them believed, as I did, that the murder was done by Zachariah, whom they themselves had conspired to hide in the hold. It was to him they would remain steadfast, not me. They would tell the truth, but in such a way as to protect Zachariah. How could I disagree? Once Captain Jaggery had sworn in the crew, he approached me. I, too, laid my hand on his Bible. I, too, promised to tell the truth, even as I knew I would not speak it completely. The swearing done, the captain returned to his chair and again banged his pistol on the rail.
"Will the accused stand?" he said.
I stood.
"Before this court," he continued, "I, Andrew Jaggery, by my rightful authority as master of the Seahawk, charge you, Charlotte Doyle, with the unnatural murder of Samuel Hollybrass, late of Portsmouth, England, first mate on the Seahawk. Miss Doyle, how plead you?"
"Captain Jaggery," I tried to protest.
"How plead you, Miss Doyle?"
he repeated sternly. "I did not do it."
"Then you plead innocent?"
"Yes, innocent."
"Miss Doyle," he asked,
with what I could have sworn was a slight smile about his lips,
"do you desire to withdraw your claim to being a member of this crew? That is to say, do you wish to hide behind your father's name, and thus avoid judgment by these men?"
I turned slightly so as to consider the crew. They were gazing at me intently, but offered nothing to help. Though I sensed a trap in the question, I was loath to abandon my trust in the men just when I most needed them.
"Miss Doyle, do you wish to be judged by these men or not?"
"I trust them," I said finally.
"Do you wish to charge someone else with the act of murder?"
"No," I said.
"Let it thus be understood," Jaggery declared, "that the accused insists she be judged by this court, and further, charges no one else with this crime."
So saying, he pulled a logbook onto his lap, and with pen in hand, wrote down my words. When done, he looked up.
"Miss Doyle, do you agree that someone murdered Mr. Hollybrass?"
"Yes."
"Someone on the Seahawk?"
"It has to be."
"Exactly. Someone on this ship. And at the moment you are the only one accused."
"You have accused me."
"But given the opportunity, Miss Doyle, you accused no one else."
It was clear this was a major point with him. All I could reply was, "Yes." The captain made a note in his book, then shifted his attention to the crew.
"Is there any man here who is willing to defend this prisoner?"
I turned to the men whom I'd begun to call friends. Ewing, Barlow, Fisk. Not one of them would look at me.
"No one?"
the captain asked mockingly. "No one."
"Very well," the captain went on. "Miss Doyle, you will have to defend yourself."
"They are frightened of you," I said, They won't speak because...
Miss Doyle, he interrupted, is it not my right, my responsibility, as master of this ship, to determine who used the knife and for what reasons?
Yes, but...
Again he cut in. Have I asked for anything but the truth?
No.
And a murder was committed by someone on this ship. That is not open to question. But have you so much as hinted it was someone else?
No, but...
Miss Doyle, although none of these men wishes to defend you, they have all sworn to speak the truth. Can you ask for anything more than that?
Again I said nothing.
Very well. We shall begin.
He leaned back in his chair, logbook still in his lap, pen in hand, pistol at the ready.
We have agreed that Mr. Hollabrass was murdered. Is there anyone here who believes he was killed by other than this weapon?
He held up the dirk. No one spoke. The captain continued.
Let us now determine its ownership. Miss Doyle, he asked, do you recognize this knife?
Captain Jaggery, I left it...
Miss Doyle, he said again, do you recognize this knife?
Captain Jaggery, was this the blade that killed Mr. Hollabrass? He repeated.
Yes.
Very well, then, he said. I shall ask once more. Do you recognize this knife?
I do, I said reluctantly.
Tell us about it.
Zachariah gave it to me.
Mr. Zachariah, he said, pretending to be surprised.
Yes, and I showed it to you a few days into the voyage.
But when you showed it to me, he quickly put in, and I asked who gave it to you, what did you say?
I said nothing.
You told me that a certain Mr. Grummidge of Liverpool gave it to you. Am I correct?
Captain Jaggery, answer the question. Yes or no? Yes.
Are you saying now that you lied? Yes or no?
Yes, I said, appealing to the crew, but only because I didn't wish to bring harm upon Zachariah.
Whatever your excuses, Miss Doyle, you admit you lied to me.
Yes, I was forced to say, and you said I should keep the knife.
Indeed, I told you that. And you did keep it, didn't you?
Yes, I said sullenly, sensing he was getting the best of me. He turned to the crew.
Did any of you see this girl with this knife in hand at any time?
The men shifted uneasily.
Come now, gentlemen, the captain barked. This is a court of law. All of you are required to speak the truth. You swore upon the Bible to do so. I'll ask again. Did any of you see this girl with this knife?
The crew appeared to be looking every way but at the captain. Then I noticed Dillingham rub the back of his neck. The captain saw it too.
Mr. Dillingham, he called out sharply. Do you have something to say? Step forward, sir.
Dillingham came forward awkwardly.
What have you to say?
I saw her with the knife, sir.
When?
Shortly after we set sail.
Thank you, Mr. Dillingham. I applaud your forthrightness. Now then, did anyone else see her with the knife? Mr. Ewing?
Ewing said as much as Dillingham. When pressed, so did Foley. So did Mr. Johnson. The captain was now leaning over the rail, clearly enjoying himself.
Did anyone not see her with the knife? He said dryly.
No one spoke.
I wish, he said, to state how unnatural it is for a girl to carry a knife.
You have no reason to say unnatural, I objected. You even gave me one.
Did I?
Yes, during the storm.
Why did I?
To cut away the rigging.
To be sure, that was an emergency. By what reason did you have a knife when there was no emergency?
To defend myself.
Defend yourself? Against whom? Against what?
Fearful of his traps, I was not sure what to say.
Against what? He pressed.
Did anyone threaten you? Any of these men?
No, not them.
Who then? Come, speak up.
You.
How so?
You struck me.
Miss Doyle, I do strike members of the crew. It is a common enough practice.
He turned to the men.
Have any of you ever known a captain who has not, from time to time, struck a member of the crew? Come now, speak up if you have.
No one spoke. The captain turned back to me.
But do they turn upon me with a knife? Is that what you are suggesting, Miss Doyle? That members of a crew have the right to assault their captain with a weapon?
He had confused me again.
Besides, he added, you had that knife on the first day of this voyage. Did you think I would strike you then?
No, I believed you were a gentleman.
So, Miss Doyle, you had the knife before you met me, did you not?
Yes, I admitted. The captain smiled with obvious satisfaction.
The knife, then, is clearly yours, and you were seen with it. You admit to all this.
He turned to the crew.
Have any one of you seen a knife in her hand other than during the first few days of this voyage? Step forward if you have.
It was Grimes who did so.
Ah, Mr. Grimes, you have something to say?
Begging your pardon, sir, I saw her.
In what circumstances?
I was teaching her to use a knife.
Teaching her to use a knife?
The captain repeated portentously.
Yes, sir.
When?
Before the storm.
And did she learn?
Yes, sir.
Was she good at it?
Aye, uncommon good.
Mr. Grimes, I ask you, did you ever hear of another girl who desired to learn the use of a knife?
Grimes hesitated.
Answer.
No, sir.
Do you not think it's unnatural?
Sir, I don't know, as if...
Agree or disagree?
He bobbed his head apologetically.
Agree.
Unnatural again, the captain proclaimed. Mr. Hollabrass was murdered during the hurricane. Did anyone see this girl on the deck during the storm?
He looked to the crew.
Anyone?
There were a few murmurs of yes.
Mr. Barlow, I think you say yes. What was Miss Doyle doing?
She was with the crew, sir, doing her part like we all was. And good work, too.
Doing her part like we all was, the captain echoed in a mocking tone. Mr. Barlow, you're not young. In all your years, have you ever heard of a girl who took up crew's work?
No, sir, I never did.
So then, is it not unusual?
I suppose.
You suppose. Might you say unnatural?
That's not fair, I cried out. Unusual and unnatural are not the same.
Miss Doyle, have you an objection?
There was nothing unnatural in what I did, I insisted.
Miss Doyle, let me then put the question to you. Have you ever heard of a girl joining a crew?
I felt caught.
Have you?
No.
So even you admit to that?
Yes, but... The captain turned to the crew.
Is there anyone here who has ever heard of a girl doing what this Miss Doyle has done?
No one spoke.
So what we have here is a girl who admits she owns the weapon that murdered Mr. Hollabrass. A girl who lied about where she got it. A girl who was taught to use a blade and learned to use it, as Mr. Grimes would have it, uncommon well. A girl who, all agree, is unnatural in every way she acts. Gentlemen, do we not, as natural men, need to take heed? Is it not our duty, our obligation, to protect the natural order of the world?
Once more he turned to me.
Miss Doyle, he said, Mr. Zachariah was a friend of yours.
The best of friends.
What happened to him?
He was flogged, I murmured.
And?
For the last time I appealed mutely to the crew. They were all looking steadily at me now.
I asked you a question, Miss Doyle. What happened to Mr. Zachariah?
He died, I said softly. Flogged to death.
Who flogged him?
You did, unmercifully.
Anyone else?
Mr. Hollabrass.
Mr. Hollabrass. Why was Mr. Zachariah being flogged?
There was no reason.
No reason? Did he not take part in a mutiny?
He had every right to a right to mutiny.
Yes. You yourself, Miss Doyle, in great fear, if I remember, informed me that a mutiny was about to occur. Mr. Zachariah was one of the participants. Yet you think it unfair to flog him?
You wanted to kill him.
So you were angry at me.
I looked into his glinting eyes. Yes, I declared. Deservedly so.
And at Mr. Hollabrass?
After a moment, I again said, yes.
Mr. Zachariah was a particular friend of yours, was he not, Miss Doyle?
Yes.
A black man?
He was my friend.
So you resented his being given the punishment he deserved?
It was not deserved.
Is murder an unnatural act, Miss Doyle?
Yes.
Is the way you dress unnatural?
Not for the work I do.
What work is that?
As member of the crew.
Is being a crew member not unnatural for a girl?
Unusual, I insisted. Not unnatural.
Your hair?
I could not work with it long.
Work?
I am one of this crew.
Unnatural,
he said. Unusual, said I.
So we have in you, Miss Doyle, the captain pressed on, an unnatural girl, dressing in unnatural ways, doing unnatural things, owning the very knife that killed Mr. Hollabrass. And Mr. Hollabrass was the man you disliked for flogging your particular black friend.
You make it seem all wrong when it isn't, I cried out. He turned to the crew.
Does anyone wish to make a statement on this girl's behalf?
No one spoke.
Miss Doyle, he said, do you wish to say anything?
My father...
Miss Doyle, the captain cried out. When we began, I offered you the opportunity of claiming the protection of your father. You refused it then.
Miserable, I could only bow my head. He turned to the crew.
Does anyone wish to make a statement on this girl's behalf?
No one spoke.
Miss Doyle, he said, do you wish to say anything?
Miserable, I could only shake my head.
Very well. I must declare a verdict.
He stood.
As master of the Seahawk, it is my judgment that this unnatural girl, this Charlotte Doyle, is guilty of the crime of murdering Samuel Hollabrass.
For a final time, he turned to the crew.
Is there anyone who wishes to speak against this verdict?
No one spoke.
Miss Doyle, he said to me, have you anything to say on your behalf now?
I did not do it.
Miss Doyle, the facts have spoken otherwise. I wish to inform you that the penalty for such a crime is to be hanged by the neck from the yardarm. Within 24 hours, you shall be hanged until you are dead.
So saying, he brought down his pistol hard upon the rail. The trial was over. Chapter 19. Without another word, Captain Jaggery led me back to the hold and locked me in the brig. I turned from him, but I believe he stood there, considering me for a while by the gloomy light of his lamp. Then he left. I heard his retreating footfalls and the creak of the ladder, saw the light gradually fade away until the hold grew completely dark again. At last, I slumped onto the stool, and though it was dark, I closed my eyes. Startled by a sound, I looked up.
Zachariah, a candle in his hand, was standing before me. Silently, he circled the brig and pulled out the bars. I crept from my cage, and we sat down close together, backs once more against a barrel, the little candle before us. I told him all that had happened. He remained silent, nodding now and again. By the time I was done, I was weeping copiously. Zachariah let me sob. He waited for my last sniffle, then asked,
"How much time does he give you?"
24 hours, I murmured.
"Charlotte," he said softly, "he'll not see it through."
"He does what he says he'll do," I said bitterly. "You said as much yourself. And he has the whole crew agreeing with his judgment. He was that careful. Punctilious," I spat out, remembering the word the captain had used to describe himself.
"I don't know the word."
"Everything in order?"
"Aye, that's him."
Zachariah rubbed the stubble around his chin.
"And did no one stand up for you?" he asked.
"No one." He shook his head.
"It's that I don't understand."
I looked up. "Don't you?" For the first time, I felt my anger turn toward him. "Why?"
"Had they not become your friends?"
"I have no friends."
"You must not say that, Charlotte. Didn't I tell you right from the beginning? You and me, together?"
I shook my head at the memory.
"What's this?"
he said, trying to laugh my response away.
"Not friends?"
"Zachariah," I burst out, "I am going to be hanged." He made a gesture of dismissal.
"You won't."
"How can you be so sure?"
"I won't let him."
"You? You'd have to show yourself. What of your plan to go to the authorities?"
"I'll give it up."
"After all that's happened?"
"Yes."
"I don't believe you."
"Charlotte, why should you say that?"
When I kept silent, he said,
"Come now, Charlotte. Something else is preying upon your thoughts. Something bitter. You must have it out."
"Don't tell me what I must and must not do," I cried. "That's for Jaggery."
"Forgive me. This old black man humbly requests you tell him what's beset your mind."
"Zachariah," I blurted out, "you haven't told me the truth." He turned to look hard at me.
"You must explain yourself."
I retreated to the brig. He pulled himself closer, pressing his face to the bars.
"Charlotte," he insisted, "now I am truly begging. Tell me what you mean."
"Zachariah," I said, tearful again, "I know who killed Mr. Hollybrass."
"Then why don't you speak it out so I can hear?"
he said sharply. "I'm waiting for him to say it himself," I threw back. He sighed.
"There's an old seaman saying, Miss Doyle, the devil will tie any knot save the hangman's noose. That Jack does for himself. Your silence is foolish. I beg of you, who do you think it is?"
I pressed my lips tight.
"Miss Doyle," he said, "if you want to save your life, you will tell me. I am trying to help you, but I cannot manage it without your thoughts. You have some choices, Miss Doyle. Shall I make them clear? Do you prefer to dangle from a yardarm by your neck, or do you wish to walk free? What do you want, Miss Doyle?"
"To live." He sighed.
"Then speak."
"Mr. Zachariah," I said with increasing weariness, "I already told you. I want the man to come forward himself."
"Most unlikely."
"Apparently," I said with even greater bitterness. Something in my voice must have alerted him. He scrutinized me shrewdly.
Miss Doyle, why are you calling me Mr. Zachariah?
For the same reason you are calling me Miss Doyle. He cocked his head to one side. I could feel his gaze upon me. For a moment I had the courage to return it, but quickly glanced away. He said,
Charlotte, you have grown suspicious of me. Am I correct?
I nodded.
Look at me.
I did. He sighed again.
Is it truly possible you think I murdered Mr. Hollybrass?
After a moment, I admitted, yes.
And why?
Zachariah, I cried out, you were there on deck. You had every reason to want him dead. And since I'd told you, you knew where I'd left the dirk. I suppose you would have preferred to kill the captain, but thought the first mate would do. And no one would know, would they? Least of all, Jaggery. I'm certain it's what the rest of the crew believes, I rushed on, and that's why they wouldn't speak for me. It's to protect you, Zachariah, just as they've done all along. I can hardly blame them. I sank onto the floor, sobbing. For quite a time, Zachariah didn't speak, and the longer he remained silent, the more certain I was that I'd uttered the truth.
Charlotte, he said at last, if you believed all that, why did you not say so before?
Because you're the only one. You told me so yourself, and I believe you. The only one who can get off the Seahawk when we reach Providence and go to the authorities about Captain Jaggery.
And that's why you said nothing?
Yes.
It does you honor,
he said very quietly. I don't care about honor, I declared. I'd much rather live. But the least you could do is be honest with me. He hesitated, then said,
Charlotte, you do not have it correct.
Well, I don't suppose I know everything.
Charlotte, he said with the utmost solemnity, I did not kill Mr. Hollybrass.
I eyed him suspiciously.
Charlotte, he continued, we shall either live by believing one another, or by not believing, die.
I want to believe you, I told him. I do. I sank back down on the stool. For a long while, neither of us spoke. There seemed nothing to say. Then, in despair, I said, Zachariah, sometimes I think Jaggery has worked all this out, so you and I should blame one another. But you said he doesn't know you're alive. He started.
Repeat what you said.
What?
The last thing.
About his not knowing you're alive?
Yes.
He moved from the brig then and sat down. His mood completely changed. After a while, he murmured,
Charlotte.
What?
When I was on the deck during the storm, Jaggery saw me.
His words sank in slowly. Zachariah, are you telling me that the captain knows you're alive and has done nothing?
Yes.
When did he see you? I demanded.
As I say, during the storm. I was on deck, trying to reach the mainmast.
Before or after you helped me? He thought a moment.
Before. Yes, I was bent into the wind, doubled over, when I heard voices arguing. I couldn't make them out at first. Then I saw Captain Jaggery and Mr. Hollybrass. It was they who were arguing, furiously. I heard Mr. Hollybrass accuse the captain of deliberately taking the Seahawk into the storm. Jaggery was enraged. I thought he was about to strike the man. Then the first mate took himself off, while the captain turned toward me. At first he didn't recognize me, only swore, as I did. But then...
What did he do?
Nothing. Just
stared in a wild sort of way. Mind, the storm was growing worse. But before he could do or say anything, I headed for the foremast, where I chanced to be where you needed me.
Didn't you wonder when, after the storm, he did nothing?
Charlotte, you yourself told me that when I helped you on the mast, you thought me a ghost, an angel, perhaps. Think of Jaggery. If ever a man had guilty deeds locked in his thoughts, deeds enough to raise the dead from seven seas, he would be the one. When, after the storm, he did nothing, I decided that was exactly what he thought, that I was an apparition. His leaving me here was proof enough. How else to explain it? And therefore I was safe.
I gazed at him through the bars, trying to grasp the full import of what he was saying. Zachariah, I said slowly, trying to sort out my tumbling thoughts. During the trial, he made a point of asking me what happened to you.
And you answered?
To make sure he didn't know, I said that you had died. But Zachariah, if he did know you to be alive, he might also guess we all knew it, and might think, exactly as I did, that you killed Mr. Hollybrass. But he wouldn't say.
So as to condemn you?
Only with me gone could he turn on you. He could not do it the other way around, for fear of my going to the authorities, as I threatened to do. Do you think he knows who really killed Mr. Hollybrass?
He might.
But who? Zachariah grew thoughtful.
To kill a hand, during such a storm, when everyone is desperately needed, takes a kind of madness,
he said finally. Well then, I said, who does that leave? We looked at one another and knew. The captain, I said. It must have been he who killed Mr. Hollybrass.
Charlotte, Zachariah protested. Mr. Hollybrass was Jaggery's only friend.
Yes, people would think them friends. No one would believe it could be Captain Jaggery. But you told me they had never sailed together before, and I never saw much friendship between them. Did you?
No.
You said they argued, I continued. I saw some of that, too. In the storm, you even thought Captain Jaggery lifted a hand to strike him after Mr. Hollybrass made an accusation.
Of deliberately sailing into the storm.
Is that a serious charge?
The owners would be greatly alarmed. But to kill him...
Zachariah, he sees you. He knows you're alive. The crew, he realizes, must know it, too. I'm a threat to him. So are you. And now, here's Mr. Hollybrass, another threat. But let him murder Mr. Hollybrass, and everyone will think you did the crime.
But then he accuses you,
Zachariah said. And see how much he's managed, I cried. Zachariah stared into the dark. Then slowly he said,
The crew keeps silent to protect me, even as he hangs you.
To which I added, And once I am gone, Zachariah, then he'll deal with you. Zachariah grew thoughtful. Finally, I heard him whisper,
May the gods protect us.
The excitement of our discovery ebbed. We sat in silence. In time, the candle went out. What, I asked ruefully, can we do about any of this?
Charlotte, we must force him to confess.
He's too powerful.
True. You'll not get any man to confess when he holds a gun and you've got none.
What do you mean?
Charlotte, see what happened when we rose against him before. You've been in his quarters, haven't you? You must have seen that iron safe of his that's full of muskets. You're not likely to get into that. No one knows where he keeps the key.
I reached over and plucked at his arm. Zachariah, I said, I know where he keeps it. Chapter 20. I scrambled from the brig and very quickly told Zachariah what had happened when I brought the information about the round robin to Captain Jaggery, how he removed a key from behind the portrait of his daughter and with it opened up the gun safe. Zachariah grunted.
I never thought to look there.
Did you look?
To be sure, if we could have secured that key and the guns, we would have taken him before. And I can promise you it's still true.
I felt a surge of excitement. Is there anyone who goes into his cabin now? I asked.
I don't know, Zachariah said. But you could go.
Me?
You know exactly where it is, don't you?
But I'm supposed to be here.
Exactly.
Zachariah, I cried. That would be insane. What if he caught me?
He could do no worse than he intends to do.
I saw the gruesome logic in that. But even if I did get the key, then what?
If Jaggery had no muskets, the men could be rallied again.
What if the crew gets their hands on the guns? What will they do?
I couldn't answer to that, he admitted.
I don't want any more death, I said.
Get the key to me, Charlotte. The rest will follow.
The enormity of the idea frightened me. Why shouldn't you get it to begin with? I wanted to know.
If it's me he catches, Charlotte, he'll be free to get rid of both of us. If it should happen that you fail, it would still leave me a chance to try and act.
Try?
Charlotte, it's all I can promise.
I considered his reasons. Then I said, Zachariah, you told me that the crew has been coming down to bring you food.
Yes.
I won't do anything until you tell them that it wasn't you who killed Hollybrass, nor me, and that we're certain it was Captain Jaggery himself. It will make it much safer for me to make the attempt.
I see your point.
When do they come?
When they can.
Zachariah, I reminded him, he's only given me 24 hours.
Get back there, then,
he said, motioning to the brig and pulling himself up.
I'll try to find someone.
I retreated into the cage. He adjusted the bars and left a new candle within easy reach, as well as a tinderbox. I heard him move away through the darkness until I lost sense of where he was. There was this about the dark. It freed me from time and space. Cut off as I was, I could retreat into thoughts about all that had happened since my arrival at Liverpool with that odd Mr. Grummidge. It seemed a million years ago, yet no time at all. I couldn't help but feel some pride in what I'd accomplished. Perhaps it was Zachariah's reference to my father, but for the first time in a long while, I began to think of my true home, in Providence, Rhode Island. Though I'd only the vaguest memories of the house itself, I had left it when I was 6, thoughts of my mother, my father, my brother and sister were all very strong and clear. With a start, for it is a curious fact that I had not truly considered my family for a time, I began to contemplate an accounting to them of all that had happened, if I lived. With great vividness, I pictured myself relating my adventure, while they, grouped about, listened in rapt, adoring attention, astonished yet proud of me. At the mere anticipation, my heart swelled with pride. I was still basking in these dreams when I heard the sounds of someone approaching. Not knowing who it might be,
I pushed myself to the back of the brig and waited. But then I heard, "Charlotte." It was Zachariah's voice. "Give us a light," he called in a whisper. I scrambled forward, found the tinderbox, and in moments had the candle lit. There was Zachariah, and with him was Keech. From the first moment I had seen Keech, as I came aboard the Seahawk, I'd never cared for him. He was too nervous, uncertain. To see that he was the one Zachariah had brought was not the greatest comfort. "Miss Doyle," Keech said when he drew close, peering about in his agitated way. "I'm pleased to see you." "And I you," I made myself reply. What followed then was a strange council of war. Zachariah made it clear at the start that neither he nor I had murdered Mr. Hollybrass.
"But who did then?" Keech asked, truly alarmed.
"Captain Jaggery," I said quickly.
"Why, what do you mean?" he demanded.
We offered our reasons. Keech listened intently, only occasionally looking up with startled eyes at me or Zachariah, yet nodding to it all.
"Murder his own mate," he murmured at the end with a shake of his head. "Do you have any doubts?" Zachariah asked. "None about you," Keech told him.
"And me?" I asked. He seemed hesitant to speak. "As I see it," I said, "the men didn't want to help me during the trial because you thought it was Zachariah who killed Mr. Hollybrass."
"True enough," Keech said. "We talked about just that. I'll admit I was one who said we owed more to Zachariah here than to you. Understand," he said, "where old loyalties lie."
I assured him that I did, and insisted I laid no blame.
"As you know," Keech continued, "I wasn't one of those who took to you in any partial way, not like Zachariah here. I'll confess, too, I never wanted you aboard. You'll remember I told you so when first you came."
I nodded.
"But you've proved me wrong more than once," he concluded. "So if my word means anything, you can now be sure no man will support your honor more than I."
That said, he held out his hand to me. I was relieved at Keech's acceptance. Perhaps, I thought, I'd wronged him. So then and there, he and I shook hands like old sailors. I felt a great weight drop from my soul. The news Keech brought was crucial, that we were, by the captain's reckoning, a few days' sail from Providence. Hanging me was therefore of the utmost urgency, which explained the captain's 24 hours. Keech readily agreed with Zachariah that if we could manage to keep the captain from his guns, never mind securing them for ourselves, another rising could be staged. He would vouch for that. "But," he warned,
"he keeps those guns locked up, and the key to himself."
"I know where he hides it," I said. He looked around in surprise.
"Where?"
I told him.
"And would you try to get them?"
"Yes." Keech whistled softly.
"Most times he keeps to his cabin," he said. "All you need do is find some way to get him and hold him on deck," Zachariah said.
"I'll be here and ready when you have," I put in. "Once you've detained him, I can secure the key to the gun cabinet."
"It shouldn't take her but a moment, Keech," Zachariah pressed.
Keech studied his hands for a long while.
"It might be possible."
He glanced upward.
"What about the others?" "You're going to have to spread the word that it was the captain who murdered Mr. Hollybrass, not me," Zachariah told him. "Not her either."
Keech nodded.
"They're going to want to know what happens to that key once she's got it," he said.
I looked to Zachariah.
"She'll give it to me," he said. "I'll be in top cargo waiting for it. And when I've got it, that will be the time for you and me,"
he nudged Keech with an elbow,
"to lead another rising."
Once again we waited on Keech. The way he fidgeted, it was easy to see that he was nervous about the plan. But that was natural. I was nervous too. Finally he said,
"It would be the only